Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Lord, your word is so vital, so very important, because it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Lord, when we put our words, or when we take your word and put it upon our lips, and we speak your word, it still remains your word. And it's the word of the kingdom of God. It's the gospel of the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let the Holy Spirit confirm the word. Let this be a day of glory and power. In Jesus Christ's name, feed your lambs in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Words of Jesus said, feed my lambs, tend to them, and do these things so that it may be well with you. So when we look at the word of the Lord this morning, I'm not going to read this as a general reading. I want to get to something else. But I just want to tell you this particular section or passage of scripture that gave me a lot of attention in this past few weeks, where it says, this is the Message Bible, Romans 8:28. You can write Message, Romans 8:28, if you're taking note. It says these, we can be so sure that every detail of our lives of love for God, our lives of love for God, is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives, to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the lines, in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. Again, we see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. And God made that decision of what his children should be like. He followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun, up to verse 30. That is Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30 in the Message Bible. God is very much involved with our lives. And I think more than what we ever realized. I had a week this week, and Friday was a public holiday, so, you know, there's a little bit of family visitation going on, and we travel to children of ours, and we spent a bit of time with them, and whatever. And on the road, I just said something to Maud. It seems to me that I really experience this. It's not that I'm joking about it. It's like I live in a different realm, a different dimension. It's the strangest thing, but my mind is all the time constructing, adding verses to verses, bringing things together, and all the time this construct is rolling on in my mind from one to the other, to the other, to the other, and then verses. And like that, the Lord gives me a message. It happens week after week after week. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I can't sleep anymore. This morning I was awake at 3:30. I can't sleep anymore. And I get up. And then when I got to the study, somebody had just sent me a message by the name of Mark Bredenkamp saying, Happy Father's Day. That was before 4 o'clock he sent the message. And so Mark was obviously awake as well. And I realized that everything happens, and I keep on saying this, that there is no coincidence. Everything is God incidence in the life of the righteous. Sometimes things happen to you to bring a message to you. Sometimes even things that happen that are good happen to you to give you a message. What kind of message? You're on the right road, particularly if, you know, like the scripture says, the lines have fallen for me, have fallen in pleasant places. They have fallen in pleasant places. When things work out, somebody asked me last night, somebody visiting, and said these words that, how are you? And I said, I always am well. I never have definitely no complaints. It's always going well with me. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. It sends a message. Somewhere along the line, I must be doing something right. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, only Christ is perfect, but I'm trying as hard as I can, and I try to delve, that's just the word I'm trying to use here, deeper and deeper and deeper into this whole thing of communicating with God, to hear His voice clearer and clearer. I've gone to dimensions this week, and I want to go to just a plain and straightforward thing, because people can also have things go wrong for them. Sometimes there is a reason. Here was also a reason. And here was a reason that would give glory to God. It was for the glory of God. But in some cases, things go wrong, and they are a constant message that something wrong has been done. And because the wrong has been done, it resulted cause and effect in the following. So then in the midst of that, I go to John chapter number 11 in the first verse. And I think that what I realize is these very much loved human beings, humanity, they're so loved by God, but I see them constantly in this passage of scripture of Lazarus and the tomb of Lazarus, constantly misunderstanding, coming to incorrect conclusions, even resisting the will of God, and even trying to step in the way and preventing things. When Jesus comes around, you just listen. Because if you need to do certain things, you need to do certain things regardless. Can you say amen? Now, I make it my business to try and say to the Lord, Lord, I love you, and by that, I want to keep His commandments. And His commandments are not difficult. It's simply like you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And the Message Bible says, and even all your intelligence. And also love your neighbor as yourself. Now, a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So here you have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, therefore, the sisters sent to Him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. There's a lot of things I want to tell the story, but at the same time, I feel that if I tell the story, I might just miss out on one or two facts. Lord, he whom you love. Now, God is love, and God loves everybody in this place. We need to understand this. God loves you, and I'm going to say it again. God loves you, and when you keep His commandments and you do what He tells you to do, you show Him your response to His love is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I just obey Him blindly. And the more I obey Him, the more the windows of heaven go open, the better the communication, the better, can I almost say, the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit are moving through my personal life. And it helps so much, so very much. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Master, the one you love is so very much sick. Message Bible. John 11, verse 4. Then Jesus heard that, and he said these words, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." This sickness is not unto death. It's not going to be a permanency of the sleep of death at all. This to me is one of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed in his entire ministry, because here we deal with a man that was 6 days in the grave, and not only was he there, or 4 days in the grave, should I say, and not only was he there, even before that, he must have died, and then he has to go through a process in which they wrap him up with the grave clothes and all of that, and then finally he gets buried. So it's more than 6 days by the time Jesus came there. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is the propelling force of going the second mile. This is what causes you to go places where you wouldn't have gone under normal circumstances. This is what causes you to go to someone and pray for that someone that is far away. It's happened to me. When you see these words of Jesus, not only is God love, but it's the essential nature of Jesus is love. Martha, her sister, and Lazarus, that whole little family there, they all were loved by Jesus, and he knew it, and they were special to him. When he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place that he was. Now, it's amazing. It's almost like you love him. Why don't you come straight away? But he stayed 2 more days, making the situation on the other side where the crisis was even more impossible, because this man is busy dying. He's really very much sick, as the Message Bible says. And then after this, after 2 more days, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Now the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again?" They wanted to stone you, but you're going there again? And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." An altogether spiritual expression here when he refers to the 12 hours of the day. 12 is the number of kingdom of God government. And he says there's 12 hours in the day, and then there's also, on the other hand, darkness. Now, he walks in love, walks in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. But if he walks in hatred, he walks in darkness, and he knows not where he goes. He can fall over something anytime. This morning, very early, I was busy praying, and I thought to myself, you know, I got myself something warm to drink just to warm up my throat. I'm busy with God. And I now switch off all the lights. And I walk to where I sit on my prayer chair. And there's like a little footstool, and there's some shoes on the ground there. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, listen, you better watch out for those shoes, because you might go flying with your coffee, and you can go parallel to the ground, about that high from the ground. You know, if that thing gets stuck in your feet because they rubber, it's like these croc shoes I use at home. And, just thinking, where are they now on the ground? So you kind of walk very carefully, because you're thinking, well, it's pitch black dark outside. It's dark in the study. It's only there for prayer that I'm there now. And I'm going to pray. I like to have tea or coffee with me when I pray, because it keeps my throat like kind of lubricated, particularly that time of the morning. Get your voice going quickly. We have something warm to drink. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. By the way, if you walk in the kingdom of God light, you never walk in darkness. If you stick to the kingdom of God way of life, listen, we spoke about the kingdom of God. There's a thing called the kingdom of God rule, as Dr. E. Stanley Jones called it. The kingdom of God rule is altogether about the light. And Jesus is the light of the world. And the focus is on Jesus. Their response to send for Jesus is right. But he's not coming. Now I'm saying to you, a lot of people send a request to Jesus. Lord Jesus, come. Your name means Savior. Come and save this situation. It's a hopeless situation. Death is on the road. And there is somebody here who's busy dying. And he's not coming. He does not respond. God comes when he decides it's the right moment in time to come. He will manifest. It's for us to keep on praying. But he will manifest in the moment that is the right timing. No coincidence, always God incidence. When the situation gets worse, it means the miracle gets bigger. When a person has died, then it's really one of those, it's the last enemy that must be destroyed. Then it's really something that's really big. Somebody's died. Now he's just died. And Jesus still just waits. Another 2 days. Doesn't make a move. But he's got a plan. God has always got a plan. He's always got a strategy. He's never too late. He's never too late. He's never too late to come and help you. It's for us to learn the lesson of persistence in prayer. When we pray and we keep on praying, ask and keep on asking, the Greek tense there in the aorist verb tells you of a continuous, you don't stop. You ask and you keep on asking. God uses situations. He uses circumstances. He uses people. Do you know that people walk into other churches and hear messages there in other churches? Or they go to other Christians and they meet up with Christians who testify of Jesus. There is always something on the road that happens to the one being prayed for. It's not just forgotten. Nobody's just forgotten. God knows everybody. He knows all of you, and he loves everybody in this place, and he cares about you. He cares for you. He bought you with his blood, and therefore the Lord himself will come and redeem you regardless of how hopeless and helpless that situation is. You know, there is a song, I don't like it because of a sentence in it, and my interpretation is not correct, actually, because if you take the whole context of the song, then it says, nearer my God while evening shadows fall. Then it goes on and says, hope of the hopeless or the helpless now abides with me. The hope of the helpless, the hope of the hopeless. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm not without hope, and I'm not, but those people there cannot help. There's a time when people cannot help. It's for you to take the bull by the horn and sort the problem out yourself. And there's always this, that if everything else fails, pray and keep on praying. You know, I was studying, in fact, I'm busy studying at the moment. Just there's a thing that I'm very intrigued with. The frequencies in the universe that are all the way, all the time, right under our noses. And what happens to the human body during prayer, during worship, during praise, but particularly when you minister to the Lord, what happens inside of the human body, because Christ now lives in us, the hope of glory. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Those are the hopeless, those are the helpless, and we are the agents of God to bring the life of God to them. We are ambassadors for Christ. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus, our friend, he was their friend also, sleeps. But I go that I may wake him up. Now the first wrong conclusion is, then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. You know, just sleep this thing off. Sometimes you sleep and wake up to the same reality. But here, Jesus is speaking spiritually again. But they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now the problem goes big on both sides. Here is Jesus in the midst of his disciples. And you know, Pontius Pilate, in his report to the emperor, the Roman emperor, about this Jesus who was crucified in the city of Jerusalem at a place called Calvary, the place of the skull. When he writes about him, he speaks about seeing Jesus once when he walks and he's leaning against a tree and he's talking to his disciples and he asks the soldiers, who's that? And they say to him, that is Jesus that everybody's talking about. It's all in the letter of Pontius Pilate to the emperor. And he says, here you have this stately man with this beautiful complexion and everything about him seems beautiful, as though he's in total control and at peace with all of creation. And surrounding him are all these, like what he says, they're tawny men, people that are like looking rather rugged, a bunch of fishermen that are just there and hanging on every word that he's busy speaking. When you become one with the Word of God, when you begin to speak the Word of God, when you take God's Word and you put God's Word on your life, on your lips, the moment you verbalize the Word of the Lord, then you find yourself in the position where you're speaking life and life abundantly in your own life. What worries me a lot about just this that I'm talking about now is the confessions that go out over the nation. The confessions that people make concerning the future of the land. The confessions that the people are making concerning rain in the winter rainfall season. The confessions, and even calling it the El Nino effect, which means the boy child effect. And referring to Jesus as the boy child, that is now the El Nino effect that now causes the drought, causes this and the other. There are other reasons when the heavens turn to brass. Are you listening to me now? And we pray, and then God moves, and we see the rain come in on the Western Cape. But we have not prayed enough, and we need to pray more. Sometimes things happen with a reason. When things go wrong in your personal life, they go wrong for a reason. And to me, it's like this. If I find things go wrong for me, then I go closer to God, not further from God. My first reaction, if anything goes wrong, I know it. It's just like that. It's like you drive a car with a clutch. You don't even think about it. You just press that pedal all the time as you're shifting gears all the time. And that's happening. And you put your foot on the brake. There's a traffic light that tells you to stop. And it's red. And you automatically stop. You don't see everybody stop these days. But anyway, you see you stop. Okay? Because you're a law-abiding citizen. And then you see some people sneak through those. And then you see everybody starts copying everybody. And then you see there are no police around. And you see they go away. And there's another law that is contrary to the law of the nation that's being practiced every day all over the country. Maud was talking about it yesterday. She said she went up towards Melville. And she's standing in the queue at a robot. And everybody just goes through the robot. And it's red. And then she stands and waits for it to go green. People behind her now start hooting. Why don't you go? Just go. Forget about the traffic lights and traffic cameras. Just go. Go through the red light. So you even get spurred on to become a culprit also and to break the law. And just on the other side stands a traffic cop, and the traffic cop catches you. All right. That never happens to anybody, so don't worry. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, Thomas is the next guy. Thomas is Toima, which means, literally, it means the twin, Toimas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. He's thinking this way. He says, there's one death, there's going to be more deaths here. We're never going to make it. Now, let me tell you now, if you have Jesus walking with you, you will make it. If you have Jesus walking with you, no matter how big the crowd, no matter how dangerous it is, no matter what the threat, no matter how big the sickness, even death, if Jesus comes with you, there is no cause for fear. Do not fear, only believe. All things are possible if you can believe. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering right now. All things are possible. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 17. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 3 kilometers away. 3.2 to be exact, but if you take it, it's like 2 miles, 3.2. 2 miles away, about. And many of the Jews had pointed to the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Mary was just staying right there. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here," she's looking at the solution to the problem. "But Lord, if you had been here, then I know it would have been a different story. My brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask God, God will give you." Those are not bad words. Whatever you ask of God, God will give you. But I want to just take it over into another realm. I want to say this to you. There's a big difference here. Up to this point, Jesus is there and they're here. The power of God's all around them, but Jesus is there and they're here. After Jesus dies on the cross, Jesus is here on the inside. Colossians 1:26 says, "This is the mystery which has been hidden since the foundation of the ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Where? Christ in you. So how near is Jesus? He lives within my heart. The thing with people in many cases is that they don't believe that God actually will forgive them. They don't forgive. They don't believe that God will cover their transgressions. I remember a girl from Bloemfontein, from the University of the Free State, that came in and said, "You know what? I've sinned so badly in my life that I don't know ever if God's ever going to forgive me." And I said to her, "Jesus loves you." She says, "Yeah, but you don't know what I've done." I said, "Jesus loves you." She says, "Yeah, but you know what? I've really been, to put it in plain language, I've sinned and I've done wrong things, man. And you know what? I neglected God. I ignored God. And I just went my own way and I went the way of the world and I committed sins and all kinds of things that I should not have done. And I don't think that God's got mercy for me." And it's a major blockage in her life. But Jesus, there is a word that I want to just for a moment see if I can get that word and just give it to you. It's a very good one, this one. Let me see. Okay, let me just go to this. Fulcrum. It's a word called fulcrum. He's the fulcrum. The fulcrum is, if you have a seesaw and you have like a triangle in the middle of the seesaw and you have that balance, that thing that upholds and causes the situation to shift to another point. Jesus is, it's like the leverage of one of these big levers, what do they call them, the crowbars, that is just, that rests upon something and lifts it up, can change situations around. So you're down there, but you can be lifted up the next moment. Jesus is the one. The fulcrum means that which is the pivotal point upon which a weight rests. He's the one that can turn your situation around. You're down now, but when he's finished, you're not going to be down anymore. You're going to be riding high. Can you say amen? It's just like that. Now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And again, a wrong perception. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." Jesus said to her, most beautiful words there. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Now she says something which is not bad. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She believes he is the Christ, the Son of God. He's just told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He's just told her right there at the house of Lazarus. Now, if you go there, there's now over their house, there's a church built there. And then you go, there's like, it's a cave. You go from the house, it's like against the hill, and then there's a cave there, and this cave's got a passage. They've closed that up, and you can come in from the top. You go down the stairs. In fact, you go to my Twitter account, you'll find it there. There are pictures I put there purposely where Jesus is has called him out of. And there's the tomb of Lazarus. We go to visit. How many times have we been at the tomb of Lazarus? And Jesus is standing outside the tomb, and he's making a declaration. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Let me tell you this morning, no matter what your problems, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No matter how bad your finances, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No matter how sick you feel, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No matter how down you are with your family and your friends, or how down you are with your marriage, whatever it is, he is the resurrection. He can make things better, even though they are hopeless. Tomorrow they won't be hopeless anymore. It's up for us to pray all the time, to ask and to keep on asking. And we will receive. Oh, yes, we will. I call it stubborn faith. I don't care about anything else. In this life, I have one thing. I pray, and when I pray, I simply obey. Pray and obey. Pray and obey. Pray and obey. Simply do what God tells me to do. Pray and obey. And I see miracles. I see miracles all the time. Many of the things that happen, you don't hear about because we don't talk about. But wherever you go, you carry Christ on the inside of you. Wherever you go, you've got the love of God on the inside of you. It's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. When Widdy had said these things, she had said these things, verse 28, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let me tell you something. Right now, Christ is in you. You're never in a hopeless situation. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the times of refreshing, something that's been on me the entire week, the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about a process that'll take you to communication and the restoration of relationship. Because let me say this, and I'm going to run ahead of myself at this moment in time. The most important thing in your life, there is nothing more important in your life, is to build relationship with Almighty God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength. On the strength of your relationship, you will pray. On the strength of your relationship, you will obey. On the strength of your relationship in the fear of the Lord, you will ask and you will receive. You will pray and you will wait, but there will be an answer. Even if you had to wait a year. Somebody said, well, you know, now we've been praying for 10 years for this, that, and the other. I don't care. As long as I'm alive, I shall keep on praying. I don't take no for an answer. I don't take no from anybody. And most of all, I don't take no for an answer from the devil. I believe with all of my heart that if I pray for something, it's going to happen. Because I believe it. I believe in the Son of God. I believe in the power of His Word. I have Christ on the inside of me. When he speaks, I follow. Oh, yes, Jesus. Now, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, He groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. That's a strange, strange Greek construction there, because it says here, he was deeply troubled. It says in the New Living Translation, a deep anger welled up within him. That anger, I can't understand, because that's actually in the Greek. It says a deep anger welled up within him, New Living Translation, and he was deeply troubled, Amplified Bible. He chafed in the spirit and sighed and was disturbed. He was moved in spirit and troubled. Okay? In verse 34, it says, actually, the Message Bible says a deep anger welled up within him. It's like he got aggravated by the situation. I've asked myself a question, why would he be aggravated by the situation? There could be many reasons. Maybe you've got a reason you can think of why he would, at that moment in time, because the Greek really there says he got like anger in the spirit. He was anger, and when it says he was greatly troubled, same thing. Tells you the same thing over again. He was troubled. It was like aggravated by the situation. He sees them weeping. He's the God of love. And he sees death. And he's the solution. They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Shortest verse, I think, in the Bible. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? All kinds of communications. But spot on is the word of the Lord. John 11:38, then Jesus again groaning in himself, the same expression, agitated, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? They then took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Sometimes people put a blockage on a miracle by their own doing. When Jesus talks, listen to what he says. Simply obey what he says. And when you do that, then things begin to happen. And I've got a message for tonight. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe in you, that you have sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The end of the drama. I close with these words. It's never too late for your miracle. I close with these words. I love to say this particular expression. I could SMS it every week. You know, there's the one expression that says, but God. The devil does this, but God. Always but God. God takes control. You know what? God is never too late. Never, ever. Never give up. Everybody say, never give up. You see, I don't care how bad my or your or our situations may be, but we must never give up. Our prayer life is the most potent, the most powerful thing that we have. And what's more, Jesus doesn't walk over there. He's now dwelling within us. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, if you decide not to take no for an answer, but pray, if you pray according to the Word of God, you've got a miracle coming your way. Let's stand up, give the Lord a praise offering right now. Amen. Never give up. Never give up. Everybody say, never give up. Father, I pray to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ that you instill the power of the spirit of faith. Tonight, the times of refreshing and a transformation in the spirit. Lord, something that is revelatory in every possible aspect and respect. And so, Father, I pray for these people right now as they go out. They're going to have Father's Day today. They're going to have a good time. And I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. And I pray this day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that you will give them a blessed day, one of peace, and that, Lord, the glory of God will fill the house of God. I thank you, Lord. Tonight in this place, there'll be a move of God. Thank you, Lord. You're the miracle-working God. You hear things. Sometimes we need to change things in order to get our answers that we desire. I thank you, Lord. You lead us in the way of life. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.